On Monday, September 24th, 2018, I walked into St. Paul's Hospital for a scheduled test. The echocardiogram technician took a look at me and said, "What are you doing here?" And then he assured me that this appointment would be very brief. And then he started taking pictures of my heart, followed by more pictures, and then a lot of questions. As the appointment started to be a lot longer than it was supposed to be, I could sense the atmosphere in the examination room starting to change. There was a lot less levity. 80 images later, he turned to me before I left the examination room, and he said to me, "Someone is looking out for you." 3 weeks later, I was at Vancouver General Hospital. I was there for my angiogram. My arteries were clear, but my ejection fraction, which is the amount of blood my heart pumps with each heartbeat, was only 20%. My cardiac team, who were amazing, weren't looking at recovery. They were looking at ways to reduce my symptoms. At the time, my two boys were 6 and 9 years old. The doctors weren't expecting me to see my eldest turn into his teenage years or my youngest to double digits. Of course, this was difficult news to receive. My wife and I had to start to adjust our dreams for the future, or the full life we had with all the plans that we had charted out. While many of us experience different forms of suffering, loss, and pain, but can we experience joy in the midst of our painful circumstances? Well, the Apostle Paul was a person who could experience joy in the most difficult circumstances of life. And Paul wrote a letter to the church in Philippi while he was in a prison cell in Rome, chained to guards. He had been put on trial for stirring up a love revolution, and he had the real possibility of being executed. And yet, he continued to rejoice. And we see that in the letter he wrote to the Christians in Philippi. We read what he has to say in Philippians chapter 1, verse 18. He says, "Yes, and I will continue to rejoice." So even in the midst of Paul's experience, he continues to rejoice. And then he goes on to say, "For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In today's message, I want to explore how, regardless of our circumstances, joy can flourish in our lives if we center our lives on Christ. Paul spent 4 to 5 years in prison waiting to stand trial before Caesar. His career of starting churches was sidelined. Many of you have experienced that same thing of being sidelined, of not being able to participate in things that you would like to participate in. Personally, for me, I enjoy coffees, and I miss them so much. not so much virtual coffees, although I'm thankful for them as well, but those moments of togetherness where I can savor someone's personality and we can be together and share a moment. I also miss hugs. I miss being able to hug people in our community. In fact, when the restrictions are lifted, I'm hoping for a long lineup of hugs from our community. Speaking of hugs, I miss my parents. Just recently, my parents experienced 60 years of marriage together. My parents are devoted to each other. They're like teenagers experiencing a deep romance for the first time. My brothers and I were going to fly across Canada and meet up with my sisters and host a party for them. And then COVID-19 came. Well, just last night, the plan was to be in St. Paul, Minnesota for my doctoral graduation, a time to be with family and celebrate a milestone. But COVID-19 curtailed my plans. The Apostle Paul experienced loss of work. He experienced the lack of ability to meet with people. And he was also in isolation. And yet, he still experienced joy because his life was centered on Christ. What is your life centered on? What are you living for? Some of you may be living for possessions, perhaps things that you can touch and experience that way, bring you a sense of security. Perhaps it's pleasure. Perhaps pursuing pleasure or experiencing desires flourish help you pursue a sense of well-being and happiness because you feel that it will turn away the pain of your heart and that you'll be able to escape with pleasure. Perhaps that's what you're living for. Or maybe it's family and friends. Or maybe your life is revolving around a romantic relationship. These are all things to be cherished. But do they occupy the very center of your life? Are they things that you hold in the very center? These things can be taken away from us. The Apostle Paul was able to experience joy in his circumstances because he knew that Christ could not be taken away from him. So he was able to experience a flourishing joy in his life. The thought of dying was a powerful reality for our family. The idea of leaving this life as a husband and as a father was challenging for us. And yet, there was something amazing about the reality that Christ would always be with us. That even in those most difficult circumstances, that God would be faithful and somehow take care of my family. And that in the greater purposes of God, that I could find rest and that I would know that God would be there for those that I love the most. With Christ at the very center, we can experience so much joy. Paul, while he was in prison, was able to rejoice because he knew that he was part of a greater purpose. While he was in prison, other Christ followers were emboldened with the message of Jesus. Citizens and guards of Rome were talking about this guy named Paul, who was announcing Jesus Christ as the true Lord. Paul was being part of a greater plan, and God was using him in great ways. The reason our family came to Vancouver was because we believed God had given us a vision to love this city, to love leaders and to love the marginalized, to love those who believe in God and those who don't believe in God, to be part of a community that embodies the love of Christ. So although God didn't remove our plans to start a church, he did reveal to us that it would not be his plan. That was difficult for us. However, God was faithful, and he provided a place just walking distance, a place to live, walking distance from the place we would be serving, right here at 10th Church. God is so good. And when we are able to release our lives to his purposes, it enables us to be able to pursue God's adventures for us and God's greater purpose. God continues to give us a great love for the city of Vancouver and to deepen that love and passion. And as we continue to experience his love, he continues to usher us into new adventures. And we can experience that together if we, like Paul, center our lives on Christ. When we realize that God is the architect of our lives, then we can chase after adventures that he provides for us, knowing that he loves us and that he's providing for us. My brother Kev loves surprises. And until just recently, his kids never knew about the vacation plans until the last minute. So it could be in the car, it could be the night before, or some creative way of letting the kids know what was happening. So for years and years, my niece and nephew have developed this sense of hope and anticipation, trusting that their dad is going to do something amazing. They didn't see it as disruptions. They saw it as an adventure. And this love for their dad enabled them to pursue an adventurous life. Well, the Apostle Paul lived much the same way. He cultivated this lifestyle of watching what God is going to do. He learned the art of seeing God's purposes worked out through his pain and problems. But because Paul kept Christ in the center, he was able to see difficult times through a lens of joy and through a lens of adventure. Paul also experienced Christ's abundant grace and love for him. The forgiveness of sins. He experienced redemption. For him, Jesus loved him so much, died on the cross, and rose 3 days later. Paul was full of joy. Christ was more than enough for the Apostle Paul. As for me, at the beginning of this year, January 17th, I walked into my cardiologist's office and he had some unexpected good news for me. He let me know that my heart was now at a normal life expectancy, that I was at a place where my ejection fraction, that my heart was pumping in that normal range where I could live a full life, which was unexpected because science has said that wasn't realistic. And yet God in his goodness has provided that for us as a family. However, my life is centered on Christ in such a way that a deeper joy sustains me, and that I know that if I had of died, that God in his greater plan and greater purposes would have provided for my family. And we were able to be sustained by that. It's given us a steadiness, a peace, a joy. And God has been good to us. We're elated by my healing, but we also trust in God's greater purposes for our future. I want to read to you a verse that has meant a great deal to me since I was very young and early in my faith walk with Christ. And it's from another letter that Paul wrote. It's in Galatians 2:20. It says this: I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Living for Christ is letting Christ live through us. As we come to the close of the message, I want to invite you to a physical expression of the message. Open palms. Open palms have historically represented an openness. And yet if you take your open palms and you turn them over, it's symbolic of dominance. Open palms have also meant gratitude or an openness to have others participate in your life. It has also meant a gratefulness and confession. The posture of your palms makes a difference. Now, I want to invite you to open your palms in this moment, unless you're driving. And as you're in this moment with your open palms, I want you to identify some experiences, habits, people, or things you need to release. Is there anything you need to decenter from your life? What is God leading you to surrender so you can recenter Christ in your life? What does this have to do with following Jesus or this gesture? It's a recentering posture. A joyful life is a centered life. Now, if you're engaging this moment with open palms, I want to invite you to join me in a very simple prayer. Christ, be my center. Be my life. Be my Lord and be my joy in every circumstance. Amen.